Philippians 4 is Paul's final instructions, the final words that he wants to give to the Philippian church. It's very interesting. It's somewhat of a summary. And we're going to start in 4 verse 1. Therefore, that's after everything I've said, this is what I want you to remember. My brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and my crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. It's obvious that he loved them. And he given this instruction to stand fast. That means to be anchored, not to give up, not to retreat, not to back down. Stand fast. Now, we have to stand fast in the Word. Anytime you want anything, need anything, you need to know what God has said about it. We need to know what God has said about healing, and then we need to stand fast there, to be anchored there, not to retreat, not to give up, not to back up. And he's reminding them to stand fast or to be anchored, or one translation says to continue to believe. Now, what would cause you to discontinue or cause you to retreat? In the field of finances, it would be you open your checkbook and there's no money in it. And suddenly, for a moment, you forget that my God will supply all your need according to his riches and glory, and that he's the Lord your shepherd, and you shall not want. If you give, it's given unto you. We've had plenty of scripture to stand on, to anchor ourselves in our finances and not let our checkbook dictate to us. I was in a grocery store. It's amazing how that happened. We went to buy 4 items, and they cost us $122. I don't know. You get lost in there, and you just do stuff, right? And this 2 little ladies were counting their goods they had in their buggy. It's obvious that they wanted to make sure they had enough money to pay for it. That broke my heart. And then as I was checking out, there was an older man with a young, maybe grandson, and they were looking at theirs and counting theirs. See, you can be a blessing to people just as you go through the grocery store and pray for them. If you're not where you have to count your pennies for groceries, there are a lot of people that do. That's free. That wasn't part of the lesson. I just gave that to you for free. You have to stand fast. Well, they're standing fast because their finances are not adequate. That's quite obvious from what we saw. Stand fast, be convinced, continue. Now, continue means not to discontinue, not to turn loose, not to let anything upset you, not let anything cause you to jump ship. And in the field of healing, sometimes pain is the biggest killer, if I can say it that way, of our faith. Because of the pain we're in, maybe because of what the doctor has prognosed, maybe because of the test he's ordered, maybe because of the prescription. Years ago, I wasn't expecting anything, and they called me, and the pharmacist called and said, "We have your prescription." Well, I said, "I'm not expecting. What is it? What is it?" And he said, "Well, I called you because it's $2,000. I said, "Well, it doesn't really matter what it's for, does it?" I wasn't expecting anything. I didn't know I needed anything, and so we just passed that by, and it never has hurt us any at all. But sometimes expenses cause you to back up, to jump ship, cause you to discontinue. And sometimes it's just pain. And sometimes it's your family. You look awful. Do you feel bad today? You need to have faith friends that you can call. Now, she's talking to this church about continuing, standing fast because they were under heavy persecution. And that word is used again in chapter 1. He says, stand fast in spirit. We're not doing this mentally or physically. We're doing this with what we know of God, what we know in spirit. And they were standing fast. You'll see that because they had adversaries that were coming strong against them. And he wanted them to stand fast in the Word and to not discontinue, to not draw back. Now, if I'm going to stand fast in the Word, you need to be prepared for disease because it's everywhere. I don't know if you've noticed. It's everywhere. And you stand fast and you continue in the Word. That means you have a season of word scriptures for healing that you can believe and read and place in your heart, because the scripture is spirit. It's spirit. Hebrews 4 says it's alive. It's of the spirit. And then in John 6, I'll read that to you. Verse 63, talking about the word, he says, it's spirit. that quickens. The flesh profits nothing. Do you get that part? The words that I speak, they are spirit and they are life. So if I'm going to be prepared for life to come to me when I don't feel well or I'm not doing well or I've got a devastating diagnosis, I'm going to go to the word that I read regularly anyway. Now, the most interesting thing happened. Somebody sent me a scripture to read, and I read it. I liked it. It was in some translations. I have just about every translation that's ever been, and it was in a specific translation. I read it, and the next morning I thought, I should read that again. I like that. And the next day I read it, and the evening I read it, and I read it, and I read it all week. It kind of, see, the Holy Spirit led me to continue there, to continue in that word. And the thing that struck me about that scripture, see, there's a scripture for you that'll anchor you no matter what your problem is, that you can continue in, that you can go back to that scripture. It says, my God shall supply all your need. So I don't have to worry about finances. It says, given will be given unto you. So I'm not worried about having enough money. And I'm not worried about health. Because he said, with long life I will satisfy you. With long life I will satisfy you. With long life I will, that's the end of the 91st Psalm. And it says, no plague, in the 91st Psalm, no plague will come nigh your dwelling. How many's in no plagues? Just no plagues. Well, he told them to continue to stand fast, to hold fast. He didn't want them to turn loose of the word that they knew. He didn't want them to jump ship because they were being heavily persecuted, some arrested and some killed. And he wanted them to hold fast to the word and continue to be disciples of the word, continue to teach the word. Stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. Now, in Joshua 1, you have Joshua's version of stand fast. This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth. In other words, if you elbow me, I can quote it, or I can open my Bible to it, or I can take out my index card I keep on the refrigerator. Or the one somebody said the one they taped to their steering wheel. I don't know if that's, but maybe that's a good idea. I don't know about that. This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth. You shall meditate day and night. The word meditate means to study. It means to read repeatedly. It means to quote. It means to mutter or murmur. That means you're always talking to yourself and you're saying, my God will supply my need. 103rd Psalm says he forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases, redeems your life from destruction. So you have a repertoire of scriptures that you can stand fast in, that you can hold fast to. And when you meditate day and night, you're standing fast, you're holding fast, you're not jumping ship. Now, I read that same psalm many, many, many times, and the word that so helped me was the word echo. It was a translation that was discontinued in the 60s. It's no longer available. And it said, you need to echo this word. The Lord is gracious and his mercy endures forever. And then it would say, you need to echo this word, Israel. Then it would say, you need to echo this word, Aaron. You need to echo this word. And I thought, echo, echo, echo. My, I got it. I said, I got it. Over and over and over again. Do you see that? I told Suzanne, she does our office and everything. I don't know computers. I'm not sad about that, by the way. You don't have to pray for me. I said, can that computer echo? Well, if it does echo, we'll bring that to you. We could echo, you and I. Would you like to echo? The Lord is gracious. His mercy endures forever. When I say the Lord is gracious, over here as loud as you can, you start and say, the Lord is gracious. Don't say with me, say after me. And then when they say the Lord is gracious, all of you say the Lord is gracious. And when all of you say the Lord is gracious, his mercy endures forever, then all of you say, the Lord, you're ready? The Lord is gracious? We're going to echo. And if the computer echoes, we'll bring that to you. Okay, you're ready. Here's what we're echoing. The Lord is gracious. His mercy endures forever. See, if you echo, you have something in your heart that's holding you steady. And he wants these people to hold steady. And I want you to hold steady in the healing word. Are you ready? The Lord is gracious and his mercy endures forever. Now, when I say the Lord is gracious, y'all pipe up and say, the Lord is gracious and his mercy endures forever.
The Lord is gracious and his mercy endures forever.
Now, wasn't that fun? See, it was the word echo that caught my attention. Echo that. It said, echo that, Israel. Echo that, Aaron. It doesn't say echo in the King James. Now, he wants them to hold fast. He wants them to hold steady. He wants them to meditate day and night. He wants them to have a deposit of the Word of God ready. Ready, ready for any unseen or expected. You know, they're all trying to give away something that's in your family. You notice that? They want to know if it's a hereditary factor in your family. We're going to echo what we've been making a deposit on our heart. We're going to say it over and over and over. Are you ready? The Lord is gracious, and His mercy endures forever.
The Lord is gracious, and His mercy endures forever.
No, wasn't that fun? We're going to hold fast to the Word. You've got to have a Word deposit so that when you have some diagnosis that you didn't like, some test that you were afraid of, sometimes all I'm afraid of is the money they're going to charge me, thinking, oh, wow. Now, look, I beseech you, Odias and Syntyche, that they be of the same mind in the Lord. Be of the same mind. They obviously had a dissension. The first thing we're going to do is to hold steady, is to continue to believe. And now we're going to continue to walk in love and avoid conflicts. That's what he's telling. He says, I want you to believe the Word. I want you to hold steady in the Word. I want you to continue in the Word. I don't want you to give up on the Word. And then he addresses these two ladies, obviously in disagreement. And Philippians 1 said, be like-minded. I'll give you that reference. It's actually chapter 2. Verse 2, fulfill you my joy that you be like-minded. Be like-minded. So he has these ladies that are not like-minded, that are on some kind of dissension, and he wants them to continue to walk in love. Now, let me tell you why that's important to healing. Because if we're not walking in love, if we're not continuing in the Word, we're not holding steady in the Word, if we're not anchored in the Word, it's going to be a disadvantage if we have a healing need. Then you have to depend on somebody who is anchored. And we have people that are anchored. We have people that know the Word. We have people that will help you, but they can help you better if you know something. Right. Now, I was on the front row, and this lady came, not in here, but in there, in the old building, actually it was. And she said, would you pray for me? The line's too long. So she just chose me because she didn't want to get in the pastor's line. It was too long. Okay. I'm agreeable. And I prayed for her, and I laid my hands on her. She told me what she needed. And she said, well, that didn't happen. And so I've been there all day. I'm just kind of worn out. And I said, okay, we'll just do it again. I'm not going to explain anything to her. She's not receptive. And I prayed for her again, laid my hand on her, and she stood to her feet, and she said, well, that sure didn't work. In other words, it was my fault that it didn't work. It wasn't her fault that she didn't believe it and that she wasn't sure it was going to work when she came. And she would rather have Pastor try to work it than me. That was obvious. Well, never did see her again. What I'm trying to tell you is you have to have a Word deposit, and you have to walk in love. You have to avoid conflict. Conflict and hatred and bitterness and anger is going to affect your faith. Now, we'll be back there. Look at Matthew 6, which is the Lord's Prayer. This is, the disciples asked, teach us to pray, and this is what the Lord said to them, beginning with verse 8. Verse 9, actually. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You know, if you want God's will done on earth, you have to have some semblance, some understanding of what is it God wants here. He wants your sins to be forgiven. He wants you to step into the kingdom. He wants you to walk in love. Those things we know for sure. I don't know if you need a new house. I don't know if you need a new car. I don't know about those things. You have to determine those in the Spirit. Some things are ordered by the Scripture. It's very, very clear what God wants. He wants you healed by Jesus' stripes. He said, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. I never noticed till I had Wayne's niece paint, she's a painter, paint this for my wall, that it didn't say, thy will be done on earth. It said, thy will be done in the earth. Just saying. Give us this day our daily bread. This word is bread. This is not just food for your body, although it would include that. This word is bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. The other Luke version says, forgive us our sins as we forgive. So what if I don't forgive? See, there's some things we're going to have to know and continue in. There's some things we're going to have to hold fast to. Okay. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Now, it's called the Lord's Prayer, but it isn't the Lord's Prayer. It's the disciples' prayer. This says, forgive us our debts or forgive us our sins. And Jesus didn't have any sins. Obviously, he wasn't praying for himself. He's giving you a prayer to pray for yourself. And then he says, right under the Lord's Prayer. It's right under the Lord's Prayer. If you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Now, you're probably like me. You didn't like that. There's some people we're just content to be mad at. Have you noticed that about yourself? If you forgive. See that if? In other words, I've got to make a choice to forgive. No matter how mean you are, how hateful you are, no matter if you want peace with me, you don't want peace with me, no matter how many rumors you spread about me, I'm going to forgive you. And I'm going to treat you like a friend. And if I don't, it is going to affect my faith. It is going to dent my faith. Now, we don't want our faith dented. We got enough problems. Enough, it takes enough time to build your faith without coming against it with unforgiveness. If you forgive. Now look at Mark 11:23, where it's repeated. Anytime it's repeated, it's worth putting at the top of your this is very important list. Do you have that list? In Mark 11:23, he says, whatever you desire when you pray, talking about prayer, believe you receive and you shall have. And when you stand praying, forgive if you have anything against anybody. In other words, you don't have the right to hold anybody accountable. So what does that do with my healing? You're not going to help yourself be healed if you're mad, ugly, unkind. It isn't going to work well for you. If you have aught against any, that's pretty broad, isn't it? That your Father also in heaven may forgive your trespasses. It says the same thing after the Lord's Prayer. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father forgive. If you do not forgive, neither will your Father which is in heaven forgive. If you do not forgive, neither will your Father which is in heaven forgive. I just echoed that for you. That makes forgiveness real, real important. Now, we only have one law in the New Testament. We're going to continue in the Word. We're going to read it. We're going to memorize it. We're going to put it on the refrigerator. Put it on the steering wheel of your car if you think that's safe. And we're also going to walk in love. We're going to continue in the Word and continue in love. And it is going to make a difference in whether or not you get healed. Now, look at Matthew 6, where we were, just above the Lord's Prayer. And let's look at the instructions about love. We only have one law. It's the law of love. It's in Romans 13. Just stay there and let me read that to you, to you, to you. I've never taught this here. Yeah, maybe in ladies' Bible study I did, but not here. And I'm reluctant because I don't want you to feel condemned. This is not to condemn you. This is to keep you from being condemned. You understand that? Okay. It says, owe no man anything but to love one another. That's a continual debt you can never finish paying. I don't care if I hate you. You still have to love me. He that loveth another fulfills the law. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Thou shalt not covet. If there be any other commandment, it's briefly summed up or comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love works no ill to his neighbor. Love works no ill. Love works no ill. Love works no ill. Neither, therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. Love is the only law we have. Well, isn't that good news? Why, we'd have to have a vast library. We'd have to have, so I'm looking for a book on, and they'd have to do the research and see where is that book, and do we have a book on that subject? You know, if we had to go by every jot and tittle of the Old Testament law, but he made it very simple. He said, if you walk in love, you've fulfilled all the law. And if you walk in love, your faith is strong. You can see you can't be hateful and full of faith. Can you see that? So we're just reminding ourselves today, we're not condemning anything. We've not heard any rumors about anybody, but we felt led in this direction. Now, if you go back to chapter 6. Okay, verse 43. You've heard that it's said. That means this is not scripture. He's telling them, you heard this rumor. If you've lived life and you live with the Pharisees and Sadducees, you've heard this said. Thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thy enemy. Now he's going to uproot that. And he said, no, you can't do that. You can't hate anybody. I'm going to bail you out in a little bit though, so you don't let me forget it. It says, love your enemy. Well, I don't know, but you may have some enemies that aren't really lovable. Do you know them? Love your enemy. See, it doesn't depend upon what they do. It only depends upon what you do. It's what you're going to do that's going to bolster your faith, that's going to stand with the healing covenant that says by Jesus' stripes you were healed, that's going to strengthen the healing covenant and make it more workable than it's ever been. You get that, right? Okay. Love your enemy. Bless them that curse you. Here's what we want to do. You curse me, I curse you. You yell at me, I'm going to yell at you. You step on my toe, I'm going to step on your toe. You throw a rock at me, I'm throwing a rock at you. You got that? But he said, no. Anybody that abuses you, curses you, speaks ugly of you, then God requires you to say something really nice about them. It's in the scripture. Well, what nice thing are you going to say? I always say, how's your dog? I was talking to a lady, though, and I knew the whole time she's taking me in the wrong direction, I thought, she doesn't have a dog. I'm trying to think, what to say? First of all, I'm trying to change the subject matter because you're not going to bury me in any ditch. I will not go there with you. And I'm a nice person, so I might not say anything unless the Lord leads me. But you're not going to bury me in hatred and bitterness just because you didn't like what your family did. This lady, she came to me and she had a relative. She particularly, they just didn't get along and she had had it. And she was just a lady I knew through business. And I told her, I know she's a Christian. I don't know what she knows, but I know she's a Christian. And I told her, I said, well, it says, you see the next verse, do good to them that hate you. You've got to bless them and do something good for them. I said, so what good thing are you going to do for her? She said, you got to be kidding. I said, well, I always like to send flowers. I said, I just call the florist and I say, this is Becky Cumby. I have an account there, see, and she knows I'm going to come by and pay for it. And I started that when flowers were $15 a bouquet. Do you remember that day?
Nope.
Somebody said, so if I get flowers from you, you hate me. I said, no. I think maybe you hated me, but I'm not allowed to hate. I am not allowed to hate. You are not allowed to be bitter. You got to do something good. She said, well, I'm not sending her any flowers. You got that? I said, that's fine. Bake her a cake. She wasn't going to do that either. I didn't see her for a couple weeks, I think, three, whatever it was. And I saw her and she said, guess what I did? I said, what did you do? She said, I sent flowers like you told me to. And then she smiled. She said, she really doesn't hate me. She loves me. She really loves me. And she just got so tickled. God's way works.
Amen.
Now, some people are going to hate you no matter what you do. I'm going to show you the scripture tells you what to do, but it's not in this passage. Now he says, bless them and do good. So the question is, what blessing are you going to send to them and what good are you going to do for them? What's the good you're going to do? And my first response, I'm not doing anything good for them. You got that? But if I obey the scripture and if I strengthen the word of God, any scripture that you strengthen in your spirit is going to strengthen and help the next scripture that you're leaning on. Well, do good. So if you're in an office, you buy their donut. Lady told me that. You just buy their donut. I thought it's a good idea. I'm not in the office, but a couple of times, Wayne, I've been married 58, 59 years. What have we been married? A couple of times I thought maybe I need to go buy him a donut, you know? And he likes donuts, so that's fine. It doesn't say think good, it says do something. Right. Your first response to somebody that's ugly and unkind is, what am I going to do? You're thinking, right? You never heard anybody tell you this, did you?
No.
I learned it the hard way. Do good and pray for them. The first thing you do, which despitefully use you, that's the people that criticize you and come against you all the time, rail against you. The first thing you're going to do is pray for them. So when I first found this principle out, I prayed for everything that moved. The man I'm sitting with, my right turn arrow, going to get this parking space, and this man comes flying from this direction and cuts in front of me and takes my parking space. And I didn't like that. And I had this flash of this scripture. And I prayed. I said, Father, in the name of Jesus, make his trip here very successful. Anything he wants, give him a good price for it. I'm responsible to do good. And the one good thing you're always doing is praying.
Yes, amen.
That's when you're somebody's neighbor parked in their yard all between the houses, basically in their yard all the time. And it really irritated them. And I understand that it was ruining their grass and all that. It doesn't negate your responsibility to fulfill the scripture. You're supposed to continue in the word and continue in love. And hatred is not going to help your health. So you got to do something. And then it goes on to say that you may be children of your Father, which is in heaven. In other words, this is what the Father does. He's all the time doing good to the enemy. Well, he did even provide salvation. And then it says, if you salute or you say hello or you greet your brethren only, I just greet the people I like, people that like me, as only people I'm talking to. Those people that are so ugly, I'm not talking to them. It says, if you salute your brethren only, what do you more than others? Do not even the publicans. It said, the sinners can do that. You're not doing any better than a sinner. You're a child of the living God, and the only people you speak to is the children of God that you particularly like. Right? Does anybody have a repulsive neighbor? I don't want to step too hard on your toe, but I want you to be healed. Okay. I see I'm in trouble today. Be ye perfect. Well, no, that doesn't mean without fault or flaw, because you'll never get there. We'll just never get there. The Message Bible says, grow up. Grow up! And people that are growing up in God, that are mature in the Lord, their first thought is, I'm going to pray for them. And then what else could I do? One lady said she wasn't doing anything. I made several suggestions, and I said, you'd be surprised how mad people get. You don't do that, right? Nobody in here does that. So I said, well, my last suggestion is to write them a nice note, put it in the mail. You don't have to see them face to face, and say, Dear Ethel. And then I heard this little man say, he was going downtown, he's walking on this side of the road, and his friend that had done him so wrong was going down this side of the road. He said, the first thing I did, I crossed the road and hugged his neck. He's following God. He's doing what God said. God said, you do something. You do something. You pray for them, and then you do something nice. Well, if you're like me, you don't particularly like people hugging my neck. That's just a personal thing. It's kind of like wearing the right colors and the right shoes. But if that helps you, that's what we're going to do. That's what we're going to do. Now look at Romans. He repeats it in Romans. It gets worse. Just gets worse. Romans 12. He said, soak yourself in the word, continue in the word, don't turn loose of the word, meditate in the word day and night. And then always love your enemy, always do the right thing to your enemy. Verse 8, owe no man anything but to love one another. The only debt that you can never get paid is love. It's never over. You know why that is? Because there's always people irritating you. You've noticed that, haven't you? People can be really irritating. Oh, no, anything but love one another, for love fulfills the law. Thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. If there be any other commandment, it's comprehended, which means it's summed up in this saying, namely, love your neighbor as thyself. Love works no ill to your neighbor. Love fulfills the law. Love always does the right thing in the spirit of faith. Always. That means sometimes I need a few minutes to think about it. Does that happen to you? Now look at the chapter 12. This is a repeat of Matthew verse 14. Bless them which persecute you, bless and curse not. Persecutes when they're on your case, they're always on your case, they're always aggravating you, irritating you, saying the wrong thing about you, spreading rumors. He said to send them a blessing. See, nobody tells you that. But that's the scripture. That's the word of God. That's what faith in God does. It is a blessing. Now, don't go haywire. One lady apologized to me. I didn't know what she's talking about. I was totally unaware of the situation she described. After that, it bothered me. But it didn't bother me before because I was ignorant. You don't have to apologize to people who don't know what you did. You just hurt their, you hurt them. You don't help them and you don't help yourself. Forget it. And finally, she looked at me. She said, she was here. She said, not here, but in the building. You do not know what I'm talking about. I said, no, ma'am, I really don't. She said, well, just forget it. She said, it's just my problem. It's not yours. That's wise advice for you. Leave them alone. Don't pass because you're irritated about what you did. Don't irritate them. You got that. Bless and curse not. Here's what cursing is. I hope they get what's coming to them. They said, don't do that. Mm-hmm. Now, this preacher that we listen to a lot, he has enemies galore. I've never seen anybody as hated. He's a fine, fine minister. We really like him. And he has a lot of enemies. And he gets off a plane, and they had a picket line there with his sign on it. They're picketing against something that he had preached. And they're all lined up, picket. And then somebody printed a book and called his name in the book and said, Pastor so-and-so does this. Now, they're in error, but he's responsible to stay out of bitterness and hatred. So, he said, every time for decades now, I take communion. He said, I take communion at home every day. And he said, then I pray for my family and I pray for my children, my grandchildren. And then he said, then I pray for these. There were five incidents he mentions. He said, then I pray for them and I say, Lord, and he's not asking God to teach him to forgive. That's not your business. That's none of your business. He's asking God to bless them, to prosper them financially, to make their dream come true, and to help them to hear what their assignment is in their church, and to provide the finances for that. Everything he does is to bless them and to help them move forward and to be strong. Do you see? You got to watch what you say, because when you go to pray, you say, I have to pray, so I pray they get what's coming to them. And you're on the wrong shoe. You are. Now, bless them, bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that rejoice, weep with them that weep. That's sympathy. That's what sympathy is. Now look down at verse 17. Recompense to no man evil for evil. In other words, you spit on man will spit on you. You know, sometimes it's, you just have to change the subject and go on with life. You just have to change the subject. To recompense is to pay back. It says, recompense no man, no man gets any payback or any words of aggravation from me or you. No man. No man. No man. Now, I know you probably already blew that this morning, or at least this week, but we're not going to do that again. Why? Because love is patient and kind. I have to follow God. I have to be in his face and not in yours. Is anybody mad yet? Okay. Recompense no man. And then it says, verse, if it be possible, as much as lies in you, live peaceably with all men. Sometimes peace is only for you. They're not going to receive you. They're not going to forgive you. They're not going to quit talking about you. Forget it and move on. If it's possible, it'd be nice for them to say, I was wrong, but they're not. I can tell you they're not coming to say that. And here's what I believe with every fiber of my being. If you're really, really wrong and you're not coming to apologize to me, I'm going to come and apologize to you. And I'm just going to say, I love you so much. Forgive me for causing you some problems. So that you didn't cause them. But I'm responsible for the answer. I'm responsible for the peace. I'm responsible for the blessing. And I'm coming to you. And this is what they do. I've been there. And I know that's not what you want to do, was to apologize. So here, Wayne and I have been practicing for years. We've been married for years. And I'd say, is there anything you'd like to say to me? Anything at all? Just dropping in my hands, see? And he would do the same to me. Your friend isn't going to take a hint. They're not coming. You go. They're not going to apologize. You do it. So I wasn't guilty. It doesn't make any difference that you weren't guilty. You're responsible to seal the gap and be the peacemaker. You got that? I don't know why the Lord, y'all just look like I'm just stabbing you in the back. Okay. Recompense no man, if it be possible. So I'm going to do my part to make peace. If you don't get it and you don't receive me, then I can't fix you. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourself. When you avenge something, you retaliate. I'll see that they get what's coming to them. And he says, you don't have that right. You cannot retaliate. You cannot pay them back. You cannot. You must not. God said you will not. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourself, but rather give place unto wrath. Vengeance is mine, says the Lord. Vengeance is mine. I will repay. Let me tell you what that says. It says in the vernacular, I alone, this is God speaking, have the right to take revenge. You know why that is? This is so simple, you won't believe you didn't know it. You can't see their heart. You don't know why they did what they did. You don't know if it was deliberate, if it was just Sister Blabbermouth, do you know her? If you could see the heart, you could solve it. But you can't see the heart of them. You don't know why they did it. You don't know what they were disturbed about, what they were struggling with. And you cannot take revenge. You cannot pay back. And God said, I alone have the right to take revenge. I personally am really glad. In verse 20, if your enemy hungry, now so we're going to do. We're going to do something. What are we going to do if he's hungry? We're going to feed him. So we're going to make him how about a chicken and rice casserole? And we're going to carry it to him. What if he throws it in the trash can? It's not my problem. So what are you trying to do? I'm trying to keep my faith for healing working. You see that? Yeah. See, in the Lord's Prayer, I'm not going to forgive you, but I'm asking God to forgive me. Please forgive me. Forgive us our debts as we, and then it has that clause, as we forgive our debtors. Okay. If he's thirsty, give him drink. And then, verse 21, be not overcome of evil. Overcome evil with good. And that's not thinking good. That's doing. That's a doing word. That's activity. What are you going to do for this mean, ugly? You know, it doesn't take much for us. It doesn't take much. Somebody promised you a copy of something and they didn't bring it. And you really needed it. And all of a sudden you're like, I needed that. You didn't bring that? I can't believe you didn't bring that. And you can get, are you like that? Can you get irritated real quick? Wayne Cumbie stays mad 3 to 5 minutes. That's all, ever. And I know if I just keep my mouth shut for 5 minutes, he's moved on. I don't know anybody that moves as quickly beyond irritation as he does. It's just amazing. He was such a blessing in that response, because I can be irritated for several days. That's who I am. I can get really mad, and every time I think about it, I think, I can't believe it. Love is patient and kind. We're going to do the rest of Philippians part of it next week. We got part one and two. We're going to continue in the Word. We're going to be steady in the Word. We're not going to abort the Word. We're going to be anchored in the Word. We're going to know what God said, and we're going to be obedient to what God said, and we're going to always walk in love, because that's what God said. So, but I don't like her. I don't care. Do you want your faith? That's what my son says all the time. You say something to me, he says, well, I don't care. Do you want your faith for healing to max out or to be minimum? Huh? If that stepped on your toes, I can't apologize. That's the word of the living God. And I didn't intend to do that today, but I couldn't get away from it. And so there you have it.